Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read this familiar chapter. Actually, before we do that, I guess we better get this announcement thing taken care of. For this next week, we have a members meeting Wednesday evening. One other thing that to announce that we're going to be taking up Wednesday evening is Malin and Gina Zare have asked for their church letter, asked for a letter of transfer. So that's to be taken up Wednesday evening. Any other announcements? Anything else? Something needs to be said? All right, let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I guess, yeah, let's read it, and then I'll give you a sermon title, if indeed it needs one. The love chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Familiar verses. Verses we've heard often. I ran onto a one-liner several weeks ago. It was a three-word one-liner that I kind of... at first just dismissed it as kind of a one-liner that didn't quite make sense. It was this: loving is obeying. Yeah, loving is... I mean, we've seen plaques on the walls, mottos, and there's lots of love is this, you know, patient and kind. You've read lots of those. Loving is obeying. How is this going to work? What is that? Anyway, that continued going around in my mind, and I went through and started looking up some verses, went hunting for verses that referred to love and obedience in the same sentence. And well, after a little while, I decided that no, those two are connected. And in doing some other reading, I stumbled onto another quote. I'm not sure who stated this or even where I read it. I just wrote it down. It said, obedience is another word for love and loyalty. So in the Christian life, love and obedience. Can I have one without the other? I guess, first of all, you could say, well, it's going to depend a little bit on how you define love. What exactly are you talking about? In the way languages work, a definition that one generation puts on a word, the next generation might view it as a little bit differently. But the word love as a noun or love as a verb, there's a pretty broad range of definitions. You have one person that says, I just love this ponderosa pine tree, this yellow pine. This is just, I just love it. I guess easy to love a tree, at least not to, it's easy not to hate the tree. But love in that sense is a bit shallow, because that tree can't do much to me. It doesn't have much effect on how I live the next hour or two. So how can we have such a large variation in definitions for this little word, this word love? I'll give you some dictionary definitions. I usually go look them up just to see what I can find. Love as a noun: strong affection based on admiration or benevolence. Warm attachment, enthusiasm, or devotion. And on a side note, it's also a score of 0 in tennis for anybody who likes to play tennis. Love is a verb: to hold dear, to cherish, to like or desire actively, to thrive in. Those are different definitions. To thrive in, as in a plant. Plant loves the sun. Another dictionary definition, and this was the one that comes closer to what probably I'm referring to in this loving is obeying one-liner. Love is also defined as God's tender regard and concern for mankind. Mankind's devotion to and desire for God as the supreme good. So that's man's devotion to or desire for God. We can, some devotion or devoting one's life to, all of a sudden obedience has a little more to do with that. You can also define a word. The other way to define a word, to figure out what you're talking about, is with the antonym, the opposite. Opposite of love, hate. That's a strong word. A word with spiritual connotations. I mean, there's instruction in the Bible about hating. About how not to. Proverbs 26, verse 24, Bible definition. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are 7 abominations in his heart. The man that hates is tearing people down, is tearing things down. Beware of him. John chapter 15, verse 9. This is, let's look a little more now at love and the commandment to us. John 15, verse 9 says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." And this love of God, that's something we're told here to continue in it. And this love is going to affect quite a bit of our lives. Could go into the Greek definitions, the various ways this word was translated. I don't think I'll take the time to do that. I think a lot of us know and have understood that, the different unselfish love which seeks to meet a need in another, as opposed to the love between friends. Similar, yet with differences. But we know that the love that we are called to exercise is the love that is without conditions, is because we see people as people who have needs, not because they've made me feel good. But getting back to the love and obedience thing, another verse from book of John, Gospel of John, if little short verse, John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That one links doing and loving pretty close. Obedience to God, obedience to Christ, that's in a way a fairly easy. We can say, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I obey God. In our relationship with God, it's possible to obey without loving. We can perform. We can perform grudgingly. We can perform to a certain extent. But is it possible to love without obeying? I don't think it's possible to do that. I think love, true love to God, will result in obedience. Another thing that I came across, the love and obedience thing, when we're talking about man to God, that relationship, the issue of ownership came up. It's mine. The fact of the matter is, we were made by God, and in life in general, the person who made it generally owns it. I had to think about a scene from way back. You know, half a dozen boys sitting in a living room on a Sunday afternoon. One guy gets off his chair and goes to the kitchen. You hear some thumping and bumping around out there, and eventually comes back, you know, sucking on a chocolate milkshake. Hey, give me that thing. No, no way. Ice cream's in the freezer and the chocolate syrup's in the fridge. Go make your own. Very little dispute over ownership. The boy who got off the chair and made it, he was pretty much the one who got to say what happened to that milkshake. If we can see ourselves that way with regard to God, with regard to God's ownership, God made us. God created this world. God gets to say what happens to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 says this: What? Know ye not that your temple is the body? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we're actually kind of stuck. We need to be taking orders from God on two counts. Ownership because He made us. Ownership because He purchased us. We were bought. There's a couple verses in 1 John. 1 and 2 John, actually, I'd like to read. These are just more verses linking this love and obedience. I think I'll read the ones. 2 John, verse 5. I think I got about four of them here. All of the same writer. And I'll just read them. Listen to them. It says this, 2 John, verse 5 says, And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Clear link there between love and our walk. First John 1:5. This is a little bit abstract. possibly, but I'll read a couple verses here. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Fellowship with Him and walking in darkness. Do not mix very well. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There again, a verse that's linking love and action, linking love and us actually doing something. Chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Love of God is perfected. We know we have it. We know we have it. Actually, the next verse, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. There again. Look at the link between our relationship with God and our walk. So how do we get obedience connected? Because of the ownership issue, let's say that we decide. Let's say I say here, one day I get up and say, okay, now starting immediately, effective tomorrow morning, I'm going to start obeying God. Is that something that we can do? Is that how that works? What do we know about obedience? We know we need to love God. We do love God. We say we love God. If obedience is part of that, how can I obey? How do I know I'm obeying? Just a couple thoughts about obedience. Communication is a key in obedience. Communication. Undisturbed free communication, where we're free to speak. That is necessary. Another part of communication, we know this is true on a human level, but two-way communication. Listening is a part of communication. It is on a human level, and it is when we are communicating with God. It's easiest to take communication from someone whom we view as our superior. Someone who knows more about the situation. We tend to sit up and listen. So is God my superior? Yes, He is. How does God speak today? How does God speak to me? Well, in our personal lives, but I think one way that we, I know for myself, one way that I have come to trust, come to enjoy, is God speaking through the church, through the body of believers. In my mind, the body of believers meets several criteria. One is, I guess I feel there's some safety there from the multitude of counselors. The other thing is the trust that God's Spirit is at work in the body. So what do we do with the contradiction of the statement, I love the church. I love the church of Jesus Christ. But I insist on living my own life this way, regardless of what the church, what the local body here wants for me. Or possibly coming a little closer home, I love the church, but I refuse to allow the church to alter my lifestyle, alter anything. I'm going to live like this. I think those are some dangerous positions to be in. Well, in conclusion, we can't afford to be living without love to God, love for God, nor without obedience. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those are red letter verse. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Those are words of Jesus. That's all I have. Let's stand together for closing prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you at the close of this service. We want to thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can be in a right relationship with you and that you love us. Lord, help us to live our lives in love and in obedience to your word. Lord, we ask your direction as we leave this place tonight and as we face life and its challenges tomorrow, the coming week. Lord, we just pray that we would be found faithful, that the ones that we deal with, neighbors, friends, whoever we come in contact with, would understand that we have been with Christ and that we would be willing to follow you wherever that may lead. Bless each one as we part here tonight. In Jesus' name.